You're listening to SBS News.
Next month, Papua New Guineans are voting in their national election, with the likely candidates for Prime Minister being the incumbent James Marape or former PM Peter O'Neill. Elections are held every 5 years in Papua New Guinea, and the last one, in 2017, was marked by corruption, election fraud and violence, including a shootout killing 4 people. An analysis of the 2017 election, conducted by the Australian National University, revealed the destruction of ballot boxes, fraudulent numbers of voters, and candidates illegally bribing voters for support. Jessica Collins from the Lowy Institute says every Papua New Guinean election is notoriously tumultuous.
The elections in Papua New Guinea are always named the worst ever. So 2017 was called the worst election ever. There was a lot of violence. Over 200 people died during that election. There was a lot of ballot fraud as well. But tied into that is the logistics of collecting ballots after the polls have been run. There's a lot of terrain in Papua New Guinea and very difficult to reach places, and the collecting of the ballots adds a whole raft of challenges for the election as well.
Ms. Collins says the government will likely reduce nationwide security throughout the elections, meaning the threat of violence is even higher.
So in this election, I think they're going to be reducing the number of security that will be on hand during the election to address the violence from 10,500 personnel down to around 10,000. So we're looking at the opportunities for addressing that violence will be significantly reduced as well.
Mr. Marape's Pangu Party has already begun to shore up its popularity by reinstating free education this year, agreeing to reopen the Porgera gold mine, and promising landowners will receive outstanding equity payments. Late last year, Mr. Marape also campaigned against misinformation and for better COVID-19 vaccine distribution in a speech to the UN General Assembly, as Papua New Guinea, with other neighbouring Pacific Island nations, was badly affected by the pandemic. Less than 4% of Papua New Guineans are fully vaccinated.
We continue to welcome and encourage further strengthening of cooperative global efforts to allow access to the COVID-19 vaccines in countries where they are most needed. We advocate for global efforts in curbing misinformation that has resulted in low rates of vaccinations in our country, especially the Facebook misinformations that keep on going on in public space.
Mr. Marape's main rival, Mr. O'Neill, has accused the government of misusing the country's COVID funds and loans. If elected, Mr. O'Neill is expected to shift the government to a more populist policy approach with a protectionist trade stance. This would mean tighter control on imports with a push to nationalise production, such as when the country banned a number of fresh fruit and vegetable imports from Australia in 2015. Within the context of an uncertain relationship within the region, the newly elected Australian government is looking to repair relationships with its Pacific allies. The rising presence of China in the Pacific region has added pressure on the Albanese government to strengthen relationships with Papua New Guinea. Earlier this month, Papua New Guinea's Chief Trade Officer, Richard Yakam, met with Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi.
Probably because I'm a trade officer, I don't look at that aspect of the military or security issue. My discussion with my colleagues from the Chinese Ministry of Commerce, Industry and Trade officials in China are more focused on trade and investment. And how the two countries can benefit from such an arrangement between the two countries.
Mr. Yakam denied speculation that the meetings were focused on an increased Chinese military presence.
There was no discussion on security or military for that matter during the Chinese foreign minister's visit. The discussions were more centered on trade and investment issues. Also, I don't think such security issues were discussed with other Pacific Island country members.
The Australian Defence Force has sent 130 soldiers to Papua New Guinea to help local authorities with planning, logistics and air transport throughout the upcoming election. The operation is called Kimber and is headed by Major General Scott Winter, who says Australian military aircraft will transport election material and personnel throughout the election and ballot count. Tom Kennedy, SBS News.